The worm lives in our initial conception of human nature. Are human beings to be trusted? With what reservations? To what degree? The official answer lately has been not much, at least since the end of World War II. Christopher Lash was able to locate some form of surveillance, apprehension, confinement, or other security procedure at the bottom of more than one-fifth of the jobs in the United States. Presumably, that's because we don't trust each other. Where could that mistrust have been learned? As we measure each other, we select a course to follow. A curriculum is a race course. How we lay it out is contingent on assumptions we make about the horses and spectators. So it is with school. Are children empty vessels? What do you think? I suspect not many parents look at their offspring as empty vessels because contradictory evidence accumulates from birth. But the whole weight of our economy and its job prospects is built on the outlook that people are empty or so plastic it's the same thing. The commodification of childhood, making it a product which can be sold, demands a psychological frame in which kids can be molded. A handful of philosophers dominates modern thinking because they argue this idea, and in arguing it, they open up possibilities to guide history to a conclusion in some perfected society. Are children empty? John Locke said they were in his essay concerning human understanding, quote, "Let us suppose the mind to be, as we say, white paper, void of all characters, without any ideas. How comes it to be furnished? Whence comes it by that vast store? To this I answer in one word from experience, in that all our knowledge is founded, and from that it ultimately derives itself." Close quote. Are there no innate ideas? Does the mind lack capacities and powers of its own, being etched exclusively by sensory inputs? Locke apparently thought so, with only a few disclaimers so wispy they were abandoned by his standard-bearers almost at once. Are minds blank like white paper, capable of accepting writing from whoever possesses the ink? Empty like a gas tank or a sugar bowl, to be filled by anyone who can locate the filler hole? Was John Watson right when he said in 1930, quote, "Give me a dozen healthy infants, well-formed, and my own specified world to bring them up in, and I'll guarantee to take any one at random and train him to become any type of specialist I might select, doctor, lawyer, artist, merchant chief, and yes, even beggar man and thief, regardless of his talents, his pensions, tendencies, abilities, vocation, and the race of his ancestors." Close quote. Do you find something attractive in that presumption of plasticity in human nature? So did Joseph Stalin and Chairman Mao, two of the century's foremost applied behaviorists on the grand scale. Taylorism sought to manage by the control of physical movements and environments, but the behaviorists wanted more certainty than that. They wanted to control the inner life, too. A great many reflective analyses have placed our own two Roosevelt presidents in the same broad category. The trouble in school arises from disagreement about what life is for. If we believe human beings have no unique personal essence, this question is meaningless. But even then, you can't get rid of the idea easily. Life commands your answer. You cannot refuse because your actions write your answer large for everyone to see, even if you don't see it yourself. As you regard human nature, you will teach. Or as someone else regards it, you will teach. There aren't any third ways. Is human nature empty? If it is, who claims the right to fill it? In such circumstances, what can school mean? If ever a situation was capable of revealing the exquisite power of metaphor to control our lives, this must be it. Are children empty? As helpless infants and dependent youth, we lay exposed to the metaphors of our guardians. They colonize our spirit.